in reaching the world with the gospel. Everybody who's born again has a vital role to reaching the world with the gospel. Amen? I think we agree with that tonight. I know you're a little sleepy, but that was, maybe you can, I can help you out. I was hoping the songs would wake us all up a little bit. And I'll make a deal with you. If you don't sleep, I won't sleep.
Amen.
So, okay. So, I don't know. Some of you are like, I don't know. I don't know if the... Sleep on. I'll be fine now. Yeah. But reaching the world with the gospel, this is God's method, right? People, human beings, right? The born again, the children of God. And for some reason, He chose to reach a fallen race with a redeemed race, right? A fallen human race with a redeemed people. But the participation, now don't miss this. And I tried to word this just right as I was pondering this, but the participation of the redeemed has no bearing on the effectiveness of the gospel. Let me explain it. If we refuse to go, God will find somebody else. God, I mean, this sounds strange, but it is true in one respect. God doesn't need you or I individually, but by His own design, He does need someone. And I'm thankful that somebody in the world had a heart to come after me. And I'm thankful, and I'm sure you're thankful, that somebody had a heart for God to come after you and to give you the gospel. And so don't worry if you don't feel like going. God will find somebody. I say that rather facetiously. Don't worry, right? We ought to be worried if we don't want to go about what's going on in our hearts. But the fact that God's will is that all would come to repentance, right, and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it does mean this. It means that there will always be enough people to reach the world, or else God would have designed a different plan, right? No, God has designed the plan. The plan is the gospel to be preached into the uttermost part of the world. And there are people who will go. The question is whether you or I will go personally, whether we're going to go. So let me say it this way. It's God's desire that all of His children have an active voice in the propagation of the gospel. He wants you to have an active voice. He wants you to have an active voice. He wants you to have an active voice in the gospel. He wants you to be a part of it. We all play a vital role in reaching the world for Christ. We are an important part of the plan, absolutely. And you know, throughout history, God has called certain men who were necessary and pivotal in God's plan of redemption. Can I name a few of them for you tonight? How about Abraham? Right? Pretty important. God made a covenant with Abraham. From his seed was going to come the Messiah. Amen? We think of Abraham, we think of Isaac, we think of Jacob and Moses and Joseph, you think of the prophets, right? You go on and on and on, specific men and women throughout history who have been chosen by God to make sure that there was a connection, a trail, if you will, that went from Adam to Jesus, right? You can think of, maybe you could throw in there Jeremiah, I think of Esther, I think of Boaz and Ruth, people necessary and important to preserving the line to the Messiah. But there was one individual born in the likeness of Adam, Genesis 5:9, that rises above all of the rest. He was prophesied of. He preceded the Messiah. He had a specific role in validating the Messiah and the start of the church. Right? You know who I'm talking about, right? We're in Isaiah 40. You know who I'm talking about. Yeah. You see, God is able to get the gospel out without you or I. He's going to need somebody, right? He doesn't need people. If we refuse to go, fine, He'll find somebody else. But Jesus wasn't going to show up until this guy showed up. Right. Look at Isaiah chapter 40. This is interesting to me. He says, comfort ye my people. This is Israel's problem. You see Israel's problem here in the first few three verses. Saith your God, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Israel's in a really bad spot. Look at verse 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Well, how is the glory of the Lord going to be revealed? And all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Amen. And here we are reading it tonight, and it has continued to stand. Amen. And it will stand forever. But it says, all of the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And how is that? The glory of the Lord going to be revealed, but by the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, everybody in this room, I know you know who Isaiah 40 is speaking of. Right? John 1:23, and he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as saith the prophet Isaiah. Yeah. See, today I don't want to really look at, you know who we're looking at, right? John the Baptist. I don't want to necessarily look at the person of John the Baptist, right? I think we're pretty familiar with his wild honey and locusts and the way he dressed and all of these things and how he preached and where he preached. But what I want to show us tonight and remind us of tonight is that the product of his ministry. And the product of his ministry really should be the product of our life. And I want to show you that. So we see here in Isaiah 40, John was prophesied. Right, he had a prophesied, if you want to alliterate it, he had a prophesied position. He was the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had a prophesied place. Where was that? He was going to preach in the wilderness. No, he wasn't going to the cities and to find the people. No, the people were going to come to him, okay? And so he had it told us this, right? It was a prophesied place. It was a prophesied proclamation we see here in chapter 40. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. He said, cry. Cry what? Well, cry out that all flesh is grass. Cry out that the beauty of life is temporary. Cry out that mankind will come and go, but the word of the Lord shall stand forever. So here we see here that John, he had a prophesied position. He had a prophesied place. He had a prophesied proclamation. He was an incredibly important person in the line of the Messiah. No, listen, Jesus wasn't coming until John came, which is pretty incredible when you think of one man or one woman's place in the history of mankind. And so we see here that the prophecies were fulfilled. Look, go over to Luke chapter 1, would you please? Luke chapter 1. We have the record of the announcement to John's birth. Look at verse 15. Luke chapter 1, verse 15. And the Bible says, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and in the power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And you see verse 16 and 17 there again. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before them in the spirit and the power of Elias. We just read that. And this is what the angel said about his ministry, right? The angel that spoke to his father, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, right? And the spirit and the power of Elias. This is what this angel was saying. Notice at the end of these words, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And here you have it. John had a prophesied position. He had a prophesied place. He had a prophesied proclamation. And the prophecy of John and Isaiah is fulfilled, right? So can we not agree that John's a pretty important guy? Amen. He is. You want to know how important he is? Jesus Christ even authenticated John. You can turn over to Luke chapter 7. I want to show you this. Luke chapter 7. Jesus had entered into Capernaum, and there is a centurion who had a servant that was dear unto him, so he healed him. Right? And then the next day, he raises a widow's son from the dead, and he's doing all of these miracles in Capernaum, and some of John's disciples were there, and they went and told John about it. And John is in prison, right? He had told Herod that you can't have your brother's wife for your wife, and it's sin and it's wrong. And so he put him in prison. And so while he's there in prison, he's hearing some of the things about Jesus. And so John gets some of his disciples together, and he says, would you go and ask him, please? Would you ask him, is he the one that really is the Messiah, or are we supposed to wait for somebody else? Now remember, before this point that he's in prison, John has already pointed, he's already baptized him, he's already pointed over to him and said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, right? He has already had the baptism and been there for when Jesus was filled with the Spirit and went out and was tempted in the 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. I mean, John was pretty certain this was him, and Jesus certainly didn't tell him otherwise, right? And so the two disciples come here, and it's recorded in Luke chapter 7. Two of the disciples come in verse 20, and they come to Jesus, and look what they say in verse 19. And John, well, we'll look at what John says first. And John, calling unto them, unto two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And when the men came unto him, John Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues, and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way, and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And in verses 21 and 22, it's kind of funny because it kind of seems like Jesus wants to finish up what he's doing, and then he turns back to these two disciples, right? And he tells them to these two disciples here, Jesus validated himself by his own miracles. He validated himself by his miracles. You see this? Look what he says. See what he says? Tell John how that the blind see. You go tell John that the blind see, and that the lame walk, and that the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and the gospel is preached to the poor. What was he saying? You go tell John that, yes, I'm the one that you paved the way for. I am he. And then Jesus turns to his audience. Watch this now. And he validates John. I'm going somewhere. Stick here. Stay tuned here. This is going to end somewhere. Trust me. Look at verse 25 and 26. Jesus turns back to his audience. He was healing. He turned aside. He comes back again. And he says, but what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously appareled and live delicately are in king's court. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. Look at verse 27. This is he of whom it was written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. For I say unto thee, among those who are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist, but he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Watch, even Jesus validates John's ministry. Now, I'll show you this as well. by Jesus validating John's ministry, he validates himself. Because prophecy has said there's somebody coming before Jesus. There is one coming to prepare the way, right? We already read that. So he validates himself to John by telling them the miracles that he's doing and that the gospel is being preached to the poor. He validates John to the people that are there watching with him, right? And so we see once again, it drills it down once again, John is a very, very important man in the plan of redemption and in the role of the Messiah. Yeah. Do you know, you and I, we weren't prophesied of, but John was. I don't think you were. I wasn't. Hey, we weren't filled with the Holy Ghost from our mother's womb, but John was. We don't baptize with direct authority. None of us in here baptize with a direct authority from heaven. How do we baptize now? The church has the authority to baptize. We don't baptize with our name attached to it. Oh, that was the baptism of Derek. That was the baptism of Martin. We didn't provide Jesus. We don't provide Jesus a regenerate, baptized believer ready for membership in the church that he started. But John did. Yeah. He's a pretty big guy. He's a pretty important guy. You see, it's now it's one thing to be important, but it's repulsive, right? When somebody believes they are more important than they really are. We don't like that, do we? But God himself showed us here the importance of John. But would you notice John's assessment of himself? Look at verse 19, John chapter 1. Go over to John chapter 1. Verse 19 through 27, the priests and the Levites had come to John, and he's baptizing out there in the wilderness. And the Bible says all of Judea went out to him to be baptized. I mean, the throngs were coming out to him. Many were believing. Of course, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious crowd who loved their power, they weren't being baptized, right? And John called them a generation of vipers. That went over well, I'm sure. And boy, we're missing that in pulpits, aren't we? Amen. And John was preaching out there, and they're coming out to him. And finally, the religious crowd shows up and says, "So, who are you? Are you the Christ? Are you the Messiah?" He said, "No." "Well, then, are you Elijah?" "No." "Are you that prophet?" "No." "Well, who are you?" Look at verse 23. John chapter 1, verse 23. He said, "I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as said the prophet Isaiah." He said, "I am the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 40. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness." But notice what he understands about who he is. I've said this often. A voice is heard, it's not seen. He said, "I'm a voice." You see what he did? He removed himself from the equation and he directed these people to what he said. And what was he saying? "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." That's what he eventually is going to say. He directed people away from himself and he directed them to the message that he was preaching. Watch what John did here. Right? Are you the Christ? No. Are you Elias? No. Are you the prophet? No. "I'm just the voice of one that was prophesied back in Isaiah 40. I'm that one, just pointing you to the one who's preferred before me because he was before me." Wait a minute. People in here, your Bible students in here tonight, you know John was 6 months older than Jesus. We know that. But what did John know? John knew this was the Messiah. And as great as John was, watch, as great as John was, as one of the greatest positions that I think you could have had, right, pointing, coming up on the trail up to the Messiah, being the one prophesied of here in Isaiah 40, His, watch this. His role was never to draw people to himself. His role was never to draw, but his role was to direct and to point. He wasn't saying, follow me. John's ministry was all about follow him. Follow him. Follow him. The Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. The one whose shoes I'm not worthy to tie. The one who's going to baptize you with fire. Oh no, follow him. Don't follow me. Yeah. And this was John's ministry. As important as he was, as prophesied as he was, in his position and his place and where he preached and all of these things, as important as he was, he still understood that his responsibility and role was to point people to Jesus Christ. Do you want to see the fruit of John's ministry? Right. Drop down to verse 33. Look what it says here. I'm going to read a few verses down to 37. And I knew him not, but he sent me to baptize with water. The same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. Time out. The Holy Ghost baptizes no one. Don't let the Pentecostal crowd say, I've been baptized by the Holy Ghost. No, you've been baptized with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost doesn't baptize, right? That's like saying, I've been baptized by water, so water just rears up around you and baptizes you. No, we were baptized with water. Who was doing the baptizing? Well, the church was, right? The pastor was, or whoever was that you might have voted on to baptize you. Well, who's doing the baptizing with the Holy Ghost? Well, it's Jesus. He said, I'll leave you another comforter, right? He's the one baptizing. That was free. Let's move on. Let's go back to this. And he said, he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Amen. John saw this. Look at verse 35. And the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, here's these famous words, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. There he is. This is why I came. I prepared the way for him. My point is to direct people to him. My point is for people to follow him. And there he is. Now look what happens. Look at verse 37. And the two disciples heard him speak. Oh, this is so easy. And they followed Jesus. You know what you call that? Mission accomplished. Amen. That is why he came. John came as important as he was, and the prophesied position that he was, and the Nazarite vow that he lived under, the ministry that he had, everything that he had that was great, that was fulfilled prophecy. The end of his ministry wasn't him, it was about Jesus Christ. And the success of his ministry was when his own disciples left him and followed Jesus. Man, I like that. Yeah. That's what it was all about. That was the fruit of John's ministry. That was it. You know, Matthew 5:16, Jesus said in that Sermon on the Mount, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let your light shine. 1 Corinthians 11, chapter 11, verse 1. Paul said, be ye followers of me as I also follow Christ. The same chapter, he goes down just a few more verses. I'm sorry, not the same chapter. 1 Corinthians, same book, chapter 4, verse 16. Paul says that again, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. I think we saw pretty plainly that John's entire purpose for living was Jesus Christ. That was his purpose, wasn't it? The reason he was born, the reason he is filled with the Holy Spirit from his birth, the reason his parents took that Nazarite vow, the reason he preached where he did, the baptism that he did. I mean, it was all for a purpose. And it was all about Jesus Christ. He prepared for him. He preached him. He pointed others to him. And because of that, the closest to him left and followed Jesus. You know, it's a fact that there are people following you and I. You don't always know it. You don't always see it. They're your neighbor watching out the front window when you leave on Sunday morning. Or when you don't. It's the person that knows maybe a testimony you have that sees you at the store and you don't know it. No, there's people following us. Your family, your relatives, your children, your grandchildren, your co-workers. Whether you realize it or not. No, they're not like tagging along behind you. But some of them are following. Some of them are just right there and you don't even realize it. Based upon how we are living our life, if people would follow us, let me say it this way, kind of a hypothetical. If people would follow us, and we know they are, but if they would choose to follow us, would our life lead them to Jesus? Or would it lead them to self? No, they may not follow Jesus at the end, but they're going to know you do. And they're going to be right, brought right to him. And they may say no, but if they followed you, would it lead them to Jesus? You see, if we are following the Lord Jesus Christ, those that may be following us, whether near or far away, some of them will eventually peel away from us, hopefully, and follow Jesus. You know, as a pastor, one of the last things I want is though you want some, there is a biblical mandate for following some leadership. But the ultimate heart and goal that I would have is that whether I was here or whether I was not here, everybody in this room would just keep trucking right along and following Jesus. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But wait, it's not just a pastor's goal. Yeah. It's everybody in here. That those that are tagging along behind you, that whether they realize it or not, whether they want it or not, they follow you long enough, they're going to bump into Jesus. They're going to hear you say, "Here he is." They're going to see it in your life. They're going to see it in your actions. They're going to see it in the way we talk. They're going to see it in the way we live our life. I mean, on multiple different levels. They're eventually, hey, listen, at some point we're going to point them to Jesus. Hopefully. Hopefully. That's the goal, right? That's the goal. And mission accomplished for us in our life is when they peel away from us and follow him too. Amen. That will be a mission accomplished. Don't forget this tonight, church. Jesus said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." The sole purpose of our life, I know it's been said this way, you know, to glorify God. That's a simple, general way, and it's correct, it is. But really, which is included within that, right, is the sole purpose of our life is to bring people to Jesus. And whether we like it or not, or whether we know it or not, we're either going to live a life like John on purpose that brings the closest those following us to Jesus, or we may be one of those who they follow and follow and follow and they get to the end of their life and they never saw Jesus in our life. May God help us. May God help us to have the fruit of our life. May God help us that the fruit of our life would be like the fruit of John's life. Hey, he was made way more important than you and I in the scope of redemption and in the plan of God. I mean, he was prophesied, man. He was prophesied. I mean, that's big stuff. And if the goal of his life was to bring people to Jesus Christ, I think ours ought to be also. Our Father, what a great reminder tonight. And I know everybody in this room would be quick to acknowledge how often we've failed. Those people that are watching, those people that are following, those people that live close to us and they encounter us on a daily basis maybe. Lord, how often some of us, we've all failed in certain areas. But I don't have a doubt that probably everybody in this room, most everybody in this room, has a desire that they live a life as one of your children, that those that are following them would be pointed to Jesus in every part of their life. Lord, would you help us to be consistent with that? Would you help us to be faithful in that? And if there's anywhere that your Holy Spirit would like to point out that we haven't lived up to that, would you point that out to us that we could get that settled tonight, that we could continue on faithfully drawing people to Thee. And I'll thank You for what You do tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't we stand tonight? The piano's going to play. However the Lord has spoken to you, maybe the Holy Spirit has pointed a little something out. Are you faithfully, is your life faithfully drawing people to Jesus Christ? How many could say tonight, I want it to. The Lord, listen, you could say this, that God knows my heart, right? Standing before me, knows my heart. I want a life that brings people to Jesus Christ. How many can say that? Yeah, don't doubt it at all. Maybe you can get alone with the Lord and just say, you know what? I just want you to help me to continue to be faithful and keep this on the front of my mind as I get up tomorrow morning, as I go to work, as I go out to town and do the things I need to do, as I converse with people. That everything about my life points them to Jesus.